Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afrita Love Show, where Jesus shows with love. I am your host, Dr. Afrita Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted that each and every one of you have decided to tune in to this live broadcast. We have a very special guest today, but as we all know, we always have our Psalm 136. We say our prayer, and then we'll have a special interview by Miss Terry Bradley. All right, Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, for this day, we ask for something to be said or done that will edify who you are. We thank you for each and every member on the show. We thank you for the guests. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So this is the moment that everyone has been waiting for. Of course, when we have our guests, I know that you want to know a little bit about our guests. We have an individual by the name of Terry Bradley. Terry Bradley has formed this very special program entitled the Brown Toy Box. And as we all know, as educators and as people in the community, we understand that it's important to have different creative ways for students to learn. And so the questions that are formulated are centered around the invention of the Brown Toy Box and the STEM and understanding how this relates to the school structure and how it relates to helping students all over the country. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to some Ms. Terry Bradley. Are you on the line?
I am. I'm here. Hello.
All right.
I'm
how
here.
Are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. Thank you for asking. So, Ms. Terry, do you mind if I ask you a few questions concerning your project and how it relates to education and things of that nature?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So how did the Brown Toy Box originate?
So it's probably a longer story than we have time for, but in a nutshell, it was some years ago, and I had just left a job. I really had gotten fired from a job. I had went through a really tough divorce, and I was just really on a quest to find my purpose. And I literally had a mountaintop moment. I was going around. There's a mountain in Stone Mountain, Georgia, that a lot of people work out around. So I was going around the mountain, and I was talking to God and my mom, who I had just lost a couple of years before, and I was saying, "What am I supposed to be doing? You know, what am I here to do? Because this ain't it." And really what I heard was, look at your life. And from that, you know, things were shown to me. You know, I saw kids in my life who people had spoke death to their dreams, right? I've been really reading about this leaky pipeline, like they like to say, around STEAM and STEM. And, you know, I'd always believed it was just an accessibility issue, an opportunity issue. And then just, you know, being raised as a little black girl in St. Paul, Minnesota in the 70s and, you know, not having a lot of role models and positive images, you know, around us. But my mom, who only had a high school education, was one of the smartest women that I knew. And she was so intentional about making sure that we had black art and black magazines, and she would take us to things to hear black professionals talk about different subject matters, because she wanted us to really see ourselves represented in a positive way. And all those things really, you know, I kind of went into the lab, and I was like, what can I do? What can I do? I'm a mom of four. And I thought, you know, you're going to create something for kids. And you're going to do something that is going to change the trajectory of their lives, that's going to disrupt generational poverty. You're going to do something where you're going to really use all the things that have happened to you in your life to create something special. And I think that's what we've done.
Wow, that is impressive, just listening to your story and the history and how you had that mountaintop experience. Now, I really want to highlight, as you were speaking, I want to highlight this brown toy box experience. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what that consists of as far as the brown toy box? What do you have? How does that look? How is it utilized?
Yeah, so Brown Toy Box is the name of our company, and it is, you know, we started as a subscription box where, you know, people would, you know, every month they get a new subscription of STEAM-themed toys, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, themed toys, books, and, you know, those kind of things in there. And then, you know, over the course of the last year, we evolved into a full-scale toy company. I wanted to become a creator of toys as opposed to a curator of these things. And really, for us, it was important that we created something where it was both educational and fun. We wanted, Mr. Rogers used to say that play is the work of childhood, right? So we wanted to have something play-based for kids that really did a few things, right? That it normalized Black excellence, right? So all of our kits are curated. All of our kits are created to feature one of our characters that are part of our fictional school, the DC Academy crew, right? The DC means curious in Swahili, so we say we're always trying to cultivate curiosity. But we really are trying to normalize Black excellence, create pathways to prosperous careers, and expand our kids' minds of the possibilities for their lives. And we do that through STEAM education, but also making sure that our toys, books, games, content, and experiences are fun and accessible to all kids, because we think it's important that all kids have access to modern, fun, smart toys that center and celebrate Black children.
Wow, and I like that because, you know, in the school system, students learn through experience and kinesthetic and tactile, and I believe that that's what this particular project is about. And students like to have fun, and when they're having fun, they don't know that they're learning, but that goes into their long-term memory, which serves a great purpose for academics and life. So that's good. Okay, so what does STEM mean to the education process and culture of a school for students and educators? What are the benefits? If you were to go into a school, what would be your pitch, you know, as far as the benefits and all those great things for your project?
So, I mean, simply put, STEM careers are the jobs of the future, right? And so what we're really working to do is to create access and opportunity for kids. We really focus. So we've got two sides to our business. We have the retail and direct to consumer, and then we've got the other side of our business where we work with Title I schools, so schools serving children who happen to come from high poverty communities, particularly 85% or more Black learning communities, right? So that's where we focus our work in our schools. But for our retail side, you know, we're in Target, we're on Amazon, we sell directly through our website. But what we say, you know, is if you look at the themes that we focus on, so we focus on 15 different STEAM themes. So from marine biology to chemistry to coding to robotics, museum arts, because we don't focus on STEM, we say STEAM, so we put the A for arts in there. Those are really not only the careers of the future, but they're also careers where Blacks make up less than 5% of the workforce, right? We're 14% of the population, but for these careers, we make up less than 5% of the workforce, and most of the things that we work on, we make up less than 2% of the workforce, right? And so what we're seeing is that the projected net worth for Blacks in 2053 is $0, right? And COVID has exacerbated that. So from 2053, I'm sure it's probably much closer to like 2040, something like that, right? We're saying not on our watch. We want to disrupt that. We want to make sure that our kids have access to these STEAM activities, later the majors, and then ultimately the careers. And so we want to be the first stop on this. You know, they talk about that pipeline. We want to be that first stop on the pipeline and then create an uninterrupted experience so kids can touch, play, experience, learn, test, fail, because we learn so much through our failures, right? So they do these DIY projects, all these different things so they can build their confidence when they're exploring these STEAM activities. But when you say what else do they get from STEAM, you know, some of the tenets of STEAM are really around collaboration, critical thinking, creativity, communication, all skills that are very transferable in every aspect of their lives. And so we want to make sure that, you know, everything that we create really helps them to build their muscles in those areas as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let me ask you this question. Okay, so you've been working with schools. What is some of the – let me ask you. I know you've had some unintended results, which means that students done, you know, well using your materials. Can you name some of the – like, do you have any data as far as to how this program assisted schools?
Yeah, so – We typically work with classrooms. So the way that when we go into schools, we don't just sell directly to schools. What happens typically is a corporate partner of a school will say, hey, we're working with the school, and most corporations have some type of initiative or program that they really focus on with their schools that they sponsor. Most of those sponsorships are right now STEM or STEAM related, because they also understand the value in making sure that they have a diverse industry, because right now they recognize that there are industries that they're in, be it aviation or robotics or coding or whatever it is, they're not diverse industries.
Okay. Wow. Pretty good. Okay, so can you tell the audience a little bit about some of the STEAM or STEM-focused toys that has been created? I'm on your website now, and I'm very impressed. This is very engaging. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you came up, how your team came up with, like, the characters and some of the toys that, you know, when students engage in these activities, what will they see? For a minute, let's see.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, good.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
And you have as much time as me. We have like 2 hours. But let me ask that question again, because I think I faded out. So I was asking if you could please tell the audience a little bit about some of the STEM or STEM-focused toys that you have, because I'm on your website now, and how your characters were created, because this is very engaging for students.
Yeah. So we have all of our toys, all of our products are educational toys, right? So we always say we are not a doll company, right? So if you're looking for dolls, that's probably not going to be us. But what you will find is really modern, fun, educational toys. That our first line of toys are the DC Academy crew. So we have STEAM kits. Where kids can go, you know, they get a kit and it's got everything from, they all have like some type of DIY activity in there, so then they test and experiment on something. Then they've got a book, because we always, we center literacy, right? So we have a book with different activities and those things. And then they've got some other self-guided play things in the kit. The kits, like I said, they all feature the DC Academy crew, which are cast of characters of the make-believe students that come from across the globe, right? And so we've got and they represent different STEAM themes. So, for example, Maya with her little Afro puff, she represents coding, and she's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Amara, who is a sweet little Muslim girl who represents chemistry, and she's from Detroit, Michigan. And we've got, you know, characters that represent Salvador, Brazil, and Queensland, Australia. We really were very intentional about how we curated the characters. So, you know, we looked at where are these places where they have a significant population of Africans that are in these different locations, and that's where we really curated these characters from. What we know is representation in toys is not a U.S. issue. It is a global issue, right? And so we wanted to curate these with a global lens. And so all of our characters really do. They represent all areas across the globe, and they are fun, and they're cute, and they're modern. You know, one of the things when we were doing our research and development, what we were going to create, we were like, there's a lot of dolls out there that, you know, for kids of color, and then there are a lot of more historical kind of things, right? So, like, you might get, like, a Harriet Tubman, like, action, you know, like hard kind of action figure type thing, or figurine, right? Or you might get, like, we saw a lot of Benjamin Banneker or these kind of things. But I'm like, those aren't really playable, right? Those are things that you definitely want to collect and put on your shelf. But we wanted things that were very, what we say in the toy industry, toyetic, right, that kids would really want to play, but then also that parents would also find tremendous value in, because for us, we want to make sure that we make STEAM accessible to the parents just as much as we're working to make it accessible to the kids. And so, you know, our first line of toys is really around the DC Academy crew. We've got books that feature the kids. We've got a slew of products that are being developed. And then we're going to have a second line of products that are for kids, because that's really for kids 4 to 7. And then we've got another line of products that we're going to be announcing next month for kids 8 to 12 that still stay in that same theme. But, again, we make it very culturally relevant, and we make it something, again, that the kids really want to play with but that the parents are proud to buy.
Wow, yeah, and I see some things that I want to buy, such as the posters, because you can use these posters, like Stay Encouraged. You can use that for any grade level.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking at,
and they'll go with a lot of schools. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I'm looking at some of these kits because I have one of my nephews is really talented, but I know that you said from 8 to 12, I believe. Is that the age range?
No. So those kits are for kids, like five. Those kits are really, we say five to eight, but for me, I think the sweet spot for most of them are 4 to 7. Some of them are older, so like the chemistry, the marine biology, those are a little bit older. But the next line of toys will be for kids 8 to 12. So, and so that they can, you know, because, you know, when they get to a certain age, they're like, oh, well, I don't want character-driven things. That's for babies, right? And there's a whole other conversation about how we adult our children, right? And we don't let kids be kids for very long. And so we're really trying to counteract that. We're really trying to just particularly, you know, particularly Black kids. During COVID, there was, you know, everybody lost a lot. But when we looked at the essential employees and we looked at, you know, the work that we were doing in schools, you know, our phone – you know, are ringing off the hook, because what they found out was what we knew all along, was when schools pivoted to get laptops and hotspots and all those things, right, the schools that we serve, a lot of those kids never got online. And they didn't get online not because their parents didn't want them to or anything like that. One, a shared hotspot with, you know, multiple kids with, you know, at different grade levels. The older kids are online doing their own homework and doing their own classes, so it's hard for them to kind of be on there for their younger brothers and sisters. And their parents were at work. They were the essential employees, right? So those were the folks that we relied on to help get us through this pandemic. And so, you know, right after the pivot to the technology, probably 3 months later, that's when our phone started really ringing off the hook about, hey, we want to be able to implement your kits and some of your other products so that we can, you know, make sure that kids keep on doing something, right? The other thing that we did during the pandemic was schools would order kits for their whole classroom, and then that was a way to foster community, right? So that we would do what we called an out-of-the-box experience, where we would have, so for example, if the theme was zoology. We have one tomorrow in Atlanta, one of these, but it's going to be in person for the first time in 2 years. But if the theme was, say, for example, zoology, they would order all the zoology kits, but then we would coordinate basically an in-class field trip where they would all get on their Teams or Zoom or what have you, and we would have like a Black zoologist talk to the kids, do kind of like a show and tell, and they had so much fun, and it really did foster community. The teachers all said they felt a relief, right, because the kids were learning. They were doing something that was on grade level, and they had fun, and the students had fun, right? And it's always really cool to get really good feedback from the teachers from the school side of the business, right, because those are the ones that are, you know, we never wanted to do anything that was going to feel like one more thing that teachers had to do. Getting their feedback and getting the positive feedback that we get from the teachers really does mean a lot to us.
Wow. Yeah, and I like these puzzles, too. It really works with the kinesthetic learner. I think any age group from, like, 3 and on up can really be successful at this, you know, the puzzle. That's good. Okay. Now, we've been speaking about, you know, all of the great items that comes with this brown toy box. Tell us a little bit about how you believe and how you know that the Brown Toy Box Project and STEM connects with student learning. What are some of the benefits that teachers can see in the classrooms?
Well, I think what they really immediately see is the collaboration, right? They see young scholars kind of working together on different things, and, you know, they see, you know, one of the things that we do with the school program that we do is we know that most schools aren't going to be able to say, hey, we want to get kits for our whole school, right? So if they do it for a classroom, then one of the things that we ask is that, you know, after the kids go through and they do the different things that they do, we'd love for them to go back and talk to their other classes about what they learned, right? And then we help them with, you know, and this is the school program part, not the retail part, but we help them present on what they learned, right? Because we think it's, you know, when you learn something, your responsibility is to share what you've learned, right? And so that's one of the things that we kind of talk about in the school. And we encourage the, you know, through the curriculum that we develop, we encourage the teachers to do that, or even sharing back with their peers in their own classes. This is what I learned. What did you learn? And being able to have that conversation, you know, and then just inherently by what the kits are and the work that they have to do. Like, so if they're doing chemistry and they're creating geysers or whatever else, then they have to learn, you know, that critical thinking and evaluating. And if I put this one in, does it go too high? If I do this, then does it not erupt at all? So it really does reinforce so many really important skills that kids are going to need, you know, for in the classroom and just in their everyday life.
Perfect. All right. Now, you spoke about entrepreneurship. What are some of the challenges for Black female entrepreneurs?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many. So that's just, I mean, yeah.
Like
so
challenges
many.
As into,
I think,
let me be more specific. Some of the challenges, and this could be any entrepreneur, but challenges as in to promoting your product, getting your product out there, mm-hmm. and letting people know that this product is what schools need, because it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple different challenges. Yeah, I think there's a few challenges. I think one is entrepreneurship is portrayed as being really easy, right? So if you look on Instagram and everybody's got an LLC, everybody's on a yacht, everybody's there, and that is not entrepreneurship. So I think if you look at that as an example, you're going to be set up to fail, right, because it's hard.
Right.
And you're going to hear so many more no's than you ever hear yes, right? And so you just have to be able – you have to definitely have a thick skin. You have to really understand that you definitely will hear a lot of no's, but that's just getting you closer to your yes. I think, obviously, capital is always an issue, being able to fund whatever your business is. I think, for me, that really did prove to be a challenge. And, you know, I think the Black entrepreneur route right now is incubators, accelerators. You know, you get a little bit of funding. Sometimes it's non-dilutive. Sometimes it's for equity, a piece of equity in your business. But I think that, you know, because oftentimes we don't have, you know, when you go out for investment, the first thing they'll ask you about is about your friends and family around, how much money did you raise? And, you know, what I used to always say is, hey, listen, I was the friends and family, right? So when I left corporate, I took that with me, right? And usually the folks that are entrepreneurs in the family are the ones that were probably the ones that people used to borrow money from, right? So when you're starting your venture, you can't, typically you're not going to be able to count on your friends and family to be able to raise. And they might just not have it, right? And that's okay. And so you're starting kind of behind because you don't have that capital, which takes you longer to scale or to build your business. So someone might say, well, why did it take you 3 years to get to this point when it took this other company, 6 months? Well, that other company started out with funding. That other company started out with, you know, a network, right? Because that's going to be super important as an entrepreneur, that you build a really strong network. So people that can, you know, speak opportunity when you're not in the room, but talk about this, you know, you need to really know about Brown Toy Box, and you really need to know about this venture or that venture. And so I think it really is just going into it eyes wide open, because it is very hard. you know, we could talk about whether it's fair or not. The answer is no, but, you know, that's just what it is. It's not going to be fair. I don't spend a lot of time talking, you know, worried about that because we know, it's, you know, that's not, it's, we're not going to get the same hand, right? And so it's what do you do with the hand that you have or how do you get the cards that you need? And so it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And so for me, I think it's been about building a good team of advisors around me initially before I could hire, right? So I think, you know, getting a team is one of the things that people look at, you know, when you're going out for capital. Well, what does your team look like? And usually like, well, shoot, I'm the team. But, you know, for what I was able to do was get a good, strong group of advisors. So in all the areas where I had deficits in knowledge, I would find an advisor to be able to stand in the gap. To that point, I would say the thing that I always tell people, get yourself good advisors, but make sure that you're advisable. Make sure that you're coachable, right? Because
right.
The worst thing you can do is find somebody who's willing to lend their time to help you, and then you come back with half-baked questions. You don't have your stuff buttoned up. They give you something to do, and you don't do it. Those kind of things, right? So I think being able to be open to being coachable, right? You know, you might know how this one area of your business works really well, but then there's going to be other areas where you have gaps. You've got to really be open to getting that feedback. But I would also say you just got to really know and believe in yourself, right? So because you are going to hear a lot of no's, and it doesn't feel good, and you got to have a good tribe of folks around you. My girls keep me lifted. Most of my friends are entrepreneurs, which makes it easier because we start with this basic foundation of understanding each other, right? So I don't have to say, oh, I went to this investor meeting and it was terrible. Or I don't have to say I went and pitched to these stores and they said no and this is how that felt. They already know. They live that life. But then also, they also are the ones that are always on my front row celebrating, you know, when I say, hey, guys, I got in a target, or hey, guys, this is what happened. So having a strong group around you, I say my tribal women have been phenomenal. They've kept me lifted during this entrepreneurial journey because it has been hard. It will continue to be hard. Every time you reach a new level, there's going to be new obstacles and new challenges, right? But it's about, for me, because I am a mission business, for-profit business, which comes with all kinds of challenges in and of itself, my mission is what gets me out of bed, and I'm trying to change the trajectory of Black children's lives. I'm trying to make sure that they're not locked in the generational poverty. So when you've got a mission-driven business, I think it fuels you a little bit more to just keep going because, you know, if you achieve your mission, wow, what a difference. You've made a difference in some people's lives, right? And, you know, and if you don't get it, then at least you tried, you know, as opposed to sitting on the sideline. And so what I say all the time is whether you're successful or not, whether you dip your toe in the entrepreneurial water and it doesn't turn out the way that you want, at least you got in the ring, right, where everybody else is on the sideline and they're saying what you could have, should have done. You got in the ring and they didn't. So, you know, just feel proud about that.
That's right. I like that. Okay. Now I've asked you some of the benefits of the Brown Toy Box, but I want to change this question. What makes the Brown Toy Box unique?
Well, we center cultural representation and STEAM. So you'll find things that really center STEAM. You'll find, like, dolls that center cultural representation. And really for us, it is both. It's not an either or. It's a both and. And so, when you look at other STEM toys, there's no representation whatsoever. It's just an activity, right? But what we know is that, you know, it is an access issue, right? So for us, it's really important that we center both, and we do it unapologetically, and we do it fearlessly, and we do it in a way, again, that all kids have fun and enjoy. So what we always say is our primary customer on the retail side are affluent Black women, and our secondary customer are socially conscious white moms, right? They're like, we didn't have a diverse toy box growing up. I want to make sure my kids do, right, which is great. Both of those customers really understand the value of STEM access and cultural representation. on the school side, our, you know, our beneficiary, of course, are the kids, but our customer are really, you know, the administrators who say, we have such a hard time sourcing culturally relevant products. We just came back from a big conference in New Orleans in February, and it was a Title I school conference, and our booth stayed packed. And it stayed packed because all of these educators are saying, you know, we've walked this whole show, and you all are the only one that are talking about cultural representation, and that is such a big deficit. But we're in a place in time right now where people are scared to even talk about it, right? You know, they'll misname it something else, right, and something that it's not. And, you know, and we're saying, no, this is important. If you're, if it's okay to talk about STEM access for girls, right, typically what you find in those programs, STEM programs for girls, general STEM programs for girls, you will find mainly white and Asian girls in those programs, right? White and Asian women, when you look at the career workforce, are doing far better than black men or black women. So for us, we are unapologetic about centering black children because we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to compete in those, you know, in those majors and in those careers. Black college students are, I think the stat is like 40% of black STEM majors drop their STEM major while they're in college, right, and choose something else. And so what we're trying to say is get kids exposed early, keep them exposed, keep them in those programs, keep parents exposed to STEM so they can understand why it's valuable for them to not just have the toys but to participate in the activities and the clubs and those kind of things so that when they get to college, they're just not practicing or pursuing a STEM major because they just want to pursue a STEM major. It's because they love it, because they've experimented with it, because what they've done in their high school careers, those kind of things. And so we're very different. We're very unique, and I don't think that you really will find anything like what we do out there. There are other, we're kind of like STEAM-focused puzzles, but in terms of, like, toys, and, you know, we're always innovating. So, you know, we know that people always ask us, well, what distinguishes you, or what happens if Mattel decides that they want to get in on your market? I mean, they can, right? They're much more heavily funded. They've got much more resources than we do. But we are very intentional. We're very authentic. And our customers really recognize that and respect that, and they support us with that.
Wow, that is excellent. All right. So that's what makes the Brown Toy Box unique. Okay. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit, as we're wrapping up, about your journey of providing educational materials to schools and communities? What does that look like? And what are people asking for? When I say people, like organizations such as schools, what are they asking for? What part of items are they asking for?
You know, it just depends, right? So when we started Brown Toy Box, we talked about our journey. We started direct-to-consumer subscription box. But I knew early that I wanted to make sure that kids who came from less affluent homes still had the same access to our stuff, right? So we started having conversations with Title I schools. And we're headquartered in Atlanta, so we did a lot of testing in Atlanta. When we first launched in schools, we did a horrible job. And that's the thing I think entrepreneurs need to talk about more, some of their failures, right? We did a horrible job. We only talked to the administrators, right? So we didn't get buy-in from the teachers. We would get the administrators like, yes, we want to have this. We want to have your kits, and we want to do a program or whatever. And then we would go into a classroom, and the teacher had no idea what was happening. So it was like we were doing a takeover, right? And they did not appreciate it. We would see them, you know, kind of smiling, having fun as it was going on. But when we first got there, we would not get a friendly welcome. We're like, oh, well, we need to make sure that if we go into a school that we're certain that the teachers have buy-in, right, to what we're doing.
Right.
Now, if it's just sending kits or toys or posters, that's different. But if we're doing a program in school, we want to make sure that the teacher has buy-in. And so what we did was we started going into the schools, and we started really testing a lot of materials. We started doing a lot of kind of focus grouping a little bit, too, where we would ask the teachers and have them do surveys and have And that was one of the things that we would, we would give the corporate partner a discount. So we're like, all we want is feedback. That's all we want to know is, are we on the mark? Are we creating something that is valuable, right? Is there value here for this teacher? Is there value for this mom or dad? Or is there value for, obviously, the young scholar? And so over the last few years, we've been able to really iterate and get it right. That's also how we got to the point of being able to launch our own toy line, is because of all the research and the testing that we did in the schools. We were able to use that information to start creating the toys and things that you see online. So the way that it works now is we've got a couple of different partnerships. So now, like, teachers can go on Donors Choose and have put us on their wish list. We've got some products on Donors Choose, right? We work with the schools directly, right? And so we're part of a lot of the schools direct. Like, they buy direct, so, you know, send us a PO and they buy direct. You know, sometimes it's the PTA that we work with. Sometimes it's family engagement. Sometimes it's obviously the instructional folks. And so they'll say, you know, we kind of give like a Chinese menu of these are the different options because we try to customize it as much as possible. So beyond what you see on our website, we have actual school kits where we do customize, and they'll say like, yeah, so I've got we want to do fourth grade coding. So we'll curate those, right? Those are where we go back to where we curate. So we've got all these amazing product partners that we will curate a kit that is on grade level that reinforces the standard that they're learning in fourth grade around, you know, and then we implement the coding piece to it. But so they'll ask for that. They ask for posters. They always give us suggestions. Like, you should have a kid that has autism. You should have a kid that has this. And I love that because they get so excited. And they say, you know, I have a son who has this. I wish you had a character. And what it speaks to is that there's been such a deficit in representation for so long that they want us to answer. They want us to solve for all of that, right? And obviously we can't. We've got 15 characters now. And, of course, you know, we'll add and have, you know, it ebbs and flows of, you know, which characters are the focus characters, depending on, you know, what the school's trying to achieve. But they ask for all of it, really. They really do. And then for our out-of-the-box programs with the field trips, like, we're able to coordinate really cool field trips around, you know, seeing things that are in class, right? So bring it right to them. Like, we're doing one tomorrow in partnership with PNC Bank and Atlanta Public Schools Early Education, where we're going to take a wildlife biologist into all their pre-K classrooms, and he's going to talk about his journey into becoming a wildlife biologist, show them some rare and exotic birds, talk about how he captures birds. Then at the end of that, they'll all get their brown toy box theme kit that we curated for them. And so there's all different types of ways to engage on the school side. Obviously, on the retail side, it's, you know, you can go to wherever you shop and purchase brown toy box. But we just want to make sure, you know, one of our vision is that, that any place that a child experiences on a regular basis, that they see themselves positively represented and that they know that they can be and achieve anything they set their minds to doing and becoming. So for us, that means the toy box, that means the classroom, and that means on the screen. And so that's our next big venture, is on to digital. We are proud that we have centered tactile play, but what we also know is that kids are getting online, and I would much rather them follow the adventure of Dre in astronomy online than be playing Grand Theft Auto at 6 years old, right? So, and so for us, it's like, so we know that digital footprint is something that we've got to really kind of just dive into the water's head first. But we want kids to get off the TV, we want them to get off the screen, get on the floor, you know, with their parent, their grandparent, their big brother or sister, and just play, and just be a kid, and just disconnect from the outside world, and that's really what we're trying to create for them.
Wow, I am very impressed with this program, the Brown Toy Box. I may And like I said, I'm looking through the catalog. I call it your website, the catalog. And I see many different things that I'm going to purchase. But is there anything else you would like to discuss or that I may not have asked you?
No.
Anything else?
No, I would just say, you know, I cannot encourage parents enough to make sure, whether it's Brown Toy Box, whether it's, you know, a summer program in your community, whether it's, you know, some other STEM, STEAM toy activity, get your kids exposed. These really are the careers of the future. And, you know, the jobs of customer service and a lot of these things, robots are taking over, and those jobs are being eliminated. And so I would just want to make sure that kids are prepared to compete in the future, right, and that we are setting the community up for wins, right? And I'm just excited to be a part of this movement. And there's a lot of people in this movement, right, whether it's people who are doing toys, whether it's people who are doing just, service programs, people who are just trying to recruit kids in college. There's so many people that recognize this as such a big issue, and it really is. And I don't think it's an overstatement to say having access. And, of course, there's, you know, so many other big issues that face our community, but STEAM access is going to be one of the civil rights issues of our time. If we don't get this right with our kids, there is such a wide income gap now and a wealth gap now. It's going to become insurmountable if we don't get this right with this generation. So while we're working on climate change, while we're working on policing in our communities, while we're working on all these other things, we need to make sure that we're not just talking about what's happening now, but we need to be really focused on what's going to happen in the future for our kids, because this is going to be the determining factor.
That is correct. Now, let me ask you one question before I let you go. So you are located in Georgia. Do you have a store in Georgia, or is it online?
No, so we are a manufacturer. So we're not a retailer. We don't expect to ever become a retailer. We are a manufacturer, so just like a Mattel or a Hasbro, you can buy their stuff, but we don't have a store. But we do sell to many, like, small, we're part of ASTRA, which is Association of Specialty Toy Retailers. Retailers, I forgot the last A is. So we sell to a lot of small mom and pops. We're working with attractions across the country, so planetariums, museums, zoos, all those places where you go into the gift shop, you've had a great time, but there's nothing there that looks like your kids, right? So we're talking with all of them. We sell, like I said, we're in all Targets on Target.com, and then we just are starting our foray on Amazon.
Oh, well, congratulations. Okay. Well, Ms. Bradley, I enjoy speaking with you, and anytime you want to come back.
Likewise.
Anytime you want to come back on the show and give us updates, feel free to do so.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Ms. Terry Bradley. And as you understand, she is with the STEM or STEAM program. This is an innovative program. I was first introduced to this program about 6 years ago at a conference, and it's very much scientific. It's great for students. It's really geared toward kinesthetic, tactile, auditory, visual learning. So it's differentiation in many different forms of learning. So I advise you to please look up the Brown Toy Box. Now then, I have a couple of announcements. If you're a gospel artist, author, creator, educator, someone with a positive message, you have a new book out, then you can email me, emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the show. I want to hear about your invention, your positive message. So please be sure to connect with me that way. Once again, my email is emonya_love@yahoo.com. In addition to that, we have many different events coming up. The first event, of course, is the book festival. And so I will be sending out information for the book festival, which will be in June. So book lovers and book authors, I want you to connect with me. The particular book festival will be in Texas in June, God's will. So if you have a book or if you are writing a book or if you have a project, email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. In addition to that, we have some exciting news that we're going to share in about 4 weeks. Well, maybe 6 weeks. Some exciting news, family and friends, so be sure to tune in. And what else do we have? Family reunion things. Okay, so we have the shirts already, and we also have the venue, and we need the music and some more things, so continue to plan for that. I know that many of you have already sent in your recipes, which is good. So make sure that I receive those recipes. Also, I want you to continue to trust in God. God is good. I mean, he's faithful for everything that he does. And as I told you before, whatever God has for your life is going to happen. And so you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Because if we were able to stop God, we wouldn't have life and we definitely wouldn't have death. So whatever it is, I want you to keep moving. And I want you to, when you're moving, I want you to move with God. This is what God is speaking. Put him first. And all those things will be added unto you. Some of you are in the season of marriage. Some of you are in the season of career. Some of you are in the season of marriage, children. Some of you are in the season of prosperity. Some of you are in the season of a movie coming. Some of you are in the season of your radio show expanding. Some of you are in the season of passing your test. Some of you are in the seasons of becoming a huge CEO. Some of you are in the season of becoming ministers. Some of you are in the season. I can go on and on. God is speaking, but I want you to put God first. That's the only way that everything will fall in sequential place. Now then, what are distractions? Distractions are anything that tries to hinder your progress. That's called the devil. You do not concentrate on that. That's what God is speaking. And I'm speaking this only to my family and my friends. Those of you who are listening, it is actually 600 individuals on this line right now. Call somebody, text somebody, tell somebody to listen. Okay? God is putting you in that season. Now, for those of you who are experiencing all of those things, right? You're blessing you, you know, you're getting married, you have a kid, your career is expanding, you know, you have movies, you have all these things. You have to keep God first, right? And some people say, I don't believe in God. You're going to start believing in him when those things happen because things cannot happen without God. And so you have to put him first, and you have to forget about yourself, and you have to concentrate on him, which is God. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on God. All of those other things, those distractions, you got to throw them out the window because God is still blessing you in spite of, right? He's still blessing you, right? You're passing your tests. You're finding the person you want to be with. Things, right? That's what God wants to happen. And so, therefore, as that is happening, you have to keep him first. And there are, you know, I correlate this to track, right? Because when there's hurdles, right? Some people run hurdles. I never did. But there are hurdles that you have to climb over. You can climb over those hurdles, right? Whatever is meant for you will happen. And so when those things, when you have, and what God is explaining to us, and this is not a sermon, it's just an encouraging word for you. When you have those things that happen, those hurdles that happen in your life, just understand that God has doors that he wants you to go through. And when he wants you to go through those doors, there are no hurdles that you have to jump over. He's going to open the door for you because that is for you. I tell people all the time when they talk about relationships, I just had a question about a relationship, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Whatever, you know, I want you to think about the Cinderella story, and I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. Cinderella lost her shoe. Her stepsisters, everybody tried to put on this shoe, but it just didn't fit. And it fit her feet because that was her shoe. You don't have to argue over your dreams. You don't have to argue over the people you want to be with. You don't have to argue over the people that you want to work with. You don't have to argue over the people that you want to marry and have children with. You have to understand what God has for you, because if you're arguing and fighting over things, that's not what God has for you, because God opens doors. He doesn't make it hard. He said you have to have faith of a mustard seed. I want you to look up a mustard seed. A mustard seed is small, right? All this extra stuff, that's not what God intended. You have to throw it away. You have to put it in the trash. So when we have those particular things, you have to put God first. He has to be first in your life so that you can what? Discern. Whatever, God, we talk about positions, we talk about jobs, and we talk about people because they're jealous, whatever they've been debt, whatever they have, God does not make things hard. God, whatever people are trying to stop, if God wants that to open, it will. They're not God. And we find that out because people are dying every single day. And if people are that powerful, I want you to understand, they would stop death. There are some people, for instance, my niece, I didn't want her to die, but I'm not God, and I can't stop God from doing what he's going to do. So I'm telling you, whatever it is that you encounter, whatever it is that you want, if God wants you to have it, he's going to give it to you. There's no one that can stop you, so stop looking at the commercials and think about the movie. Think about the prize, what you're watching. You should be looking towards the prize. You're going to have distractors. You're going to have that. But whatever God wants you to have, you're going to have it. Trust me. Whatever it is. Okay? That goes for your marriage. That goes for your children. That goes for your education. That goes for tests that God bless you to pass. That goes for careers. Whatever it is. So stop being afraid to tell people about the good things God is doing in your life because you're afraid that somebody's going to try to block it. If they, whatever they're doing, if they do that, that's not from God. And that's a good sign because God's not going to give it to you because that's your loss. Whether it's relationships, that's your loss. Whether it's careers, that's your loss. Not mine, it's yours. So because you're weak-minded. So when you think about these things, you have to think about and put God first. Now all this extra stuff, put it in the trash. It's too much extra, being extra, doing extra. When we talk about that, we're not talking about, we're not talking about work ethics. We're talking about being extra, your attitude, just extra, unnecessary stuff that shouldn't even be. So I want you to think about all those things, and we'll talk about them. I have some questions. We'll talk about those things because whatever God wants you to have, you don't have to fight for it. Right? Just like fighting for crumbs. You don't have to do all that. God has meat for you. You don't have to do all that. Just be you. That's it. Just be you. And so we want you to understand those particular things. Now, we have some exciting, exciting trips coming up. And there'll be, you know, weekends, what have you, exciting trips. And the ones in the summer will be, you know, during vacation or what have you, but exciting trips. And one of the most exciting trips that's, you know, God's will is going to happen in the summer is San Francisco. That's where my mom's from. I want to visit San Francisco. There are so many attractions in San Francisco. You know, there. I just feel like with my movie coming out and everything, I just feel like there are gross opportunities to connect with other film writers, you know. A film festival is happening as well. And so I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about all these things. I'm excited about the book festivals. I'm excited about my new book that's out. I'm excited about having the ability to speak on platforms about my experience. But in speaking of my experience, it's how do you ward out the distractions? Because a lot of people can't do it. You have people that, you know, and they're not weak people. I'm not saying that. But it's a lot of people who can't handle the stress of life. And so they try to take the easy way out, whatever that is, whether it's moving away, getting away from it, whatever it is, but we're strong, and we can withstand. And so with that, I want you to understand that through all of that, you have to have some time for yourself. You have to make some time with God. You have to make some time with the person or persons that you love, right? Don't spend your time on people who don't have your best interest in mind. I wonder what they're doing now. I wonder what they're... That's crazy. No. Okay? And so with that, you have to understand the concept of putting God first. He says that all of these other things will be added unto you. You don't have to. You know, if someone, for instance, I told them, I said, it's people calling, you know, and I was upset because I said, these are cowards. You know, I said, people calling and writing letters and all that. If God wants you there, he'll put you there. Right? Nobody can stop God. And God gave the example. He said, when I want somebody to be born, they will be born. When I'm ready for someone to die or pass away, they will. So what makes you think that somebody can stop a door that God has opened? That's crazy. You need to live your life and live it in a way that is confident, and whatever befalls, whatever snare that the devil tries to throw, understand that you didn't need that person or you didn't need that door. And you don't belong there. Your blessing is elsewhere. If you're always in quarrels with the person that you're in a relationship with, all this extra, that's not where you're supposed to be. God wants us to live happy and prosperous. If you have to withhold things because you're afraid that somebody's going to write a letter, somebody's going to call, that's not the place to be. Because there are a lot of times, God showed an example. He said, can we write a letter to God and say, God, I want this person to continue to live? We can. But when God gets ready, they got to move, just like we do. So stop. Live with confidence and live boldly. And I'm not gonna lie, I used to not put, right, particular things on the website because of idiots who would call people or write letters. And God said, stop that. If they do that and the people are weak enough to adhere to that, you don't need them anyways. Stop living around people and live your life for God. If you're afraid, right, that if you take your spouse around somebody that they're going to be with that person, you don't need that person, right? You don't. You have to be bold and confident in yourself and in your spouse or whoever else. If you don't feel comfortable with your kids, right, going around other people because you're afraid they're going to curse them out, you don't have to be around those people, right? You have to teach the kids respect. But at the same time, if you're afraid, that's not where it's at. You're afraid to, you know, you live in a paranoid life to live. There's always going to be distractions. And if people, right, if people fall into those traps, that's them. You don't need them anyways. Job opportunities, you know. Stop not putting somebody down because you're afraid that they're going to lie. If they lie, so what? The person on the other end, that's a test. That shows you what you're working with. If you just believe anything, somebody call you. For instance, this lady, she been calling schools, calling districts, writing letters. I know exactly who it is. So I'm going to pray for her because she needs help. Okay? She needs a lot of help. But if I was to worry about that, and if people believe that from a phone call from someone who doesn't have what I have, you know what I'm saying? That's them. That's not on me. That's your loss, not mine. So you have to understand and discern, and that's you as a leader. God's speaking to us as a leader. She said you have to do your research. There are people out there who are jealous. This lady, I have no idea why she's doing that. Probably she needs money. I don't know. She probably needs money. She's desperate for money. She and her sister. And there's a lot of other people. She's not the only one. But anyway, she's one of them. I have no idea why she does it. She just needs money. But with her, if you're afraid to say whatever you're doing because you're afraid somebody's going to write a letter like that ignorance, then you don't need to be there because you don't have tough skin. As a leader, you have to do your research. You can't just take somebody's word. And if you're in that situation where somebody just takes somebody's word, you don't need to be there anyways. They're gullible. They'll believe anything. Then what? It's a blessing because it's a test to see what type of leader you are. It's a test to see what type of parent you are. It's a test to see what type of spouse you are. It's a test to see what type of auntie you are, what type of uncle you are, what type of teacher you are, what type of minister you are, what type of whatever. It's a test. And if you believe everything that somebody say, that's not where it's at, period. Somebody can come up and tell you anything, you're going to believe it. That's your loss, right? And so we have to stop living in a paranoid way, right? Because I used to say, you know what, I don't want to put this down, because I know these people are lying, right? Or, you know, like I said, at that other place, you know, the superintendent telling all these people, right, even the sisters, you know, she's fine here, you know, telling every move, and she writing letters. Stop being like that. Let them write them, because if those people believe that, that's not where it's at, period. So if you want to be on this ministry, emonya_love@yahoo.com. And we'll have more discussions, but start living and put God first. Stop being so paranoid. I'm afraid that these sisters, this girl right here that I know, right, she gonna write a letter in the door. She wouldn't dare tell me in my face. I'm she gonna write a letter in the door. I'm paranoid. Stop being paranoid. If people close the door, that's your loss. If people believe that, that's your loss. Move on. Stop crying over spoiled milk. Get tough. All right? So if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love is true because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Afrida Love. Have a nice one. Bye.